That's the Shemiz Boch. We begin Perek Sheni, the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Kriyas Shema, the laws of the Sadel B'Shema and the Sefer Av, the Book of Love, which we continue the theme of the previous Perek discussing the Kriya of the Shema, and this Perek discussing specific the way that one recites the Shema. The Rambam gives halacha regarding the focus and the way how one reads it. Hakir Shema. Someone is saying the Shema, V'lekiven libe b'pasek rishon, that he did not focus his thoughts in the first pasek Shu Shema Yisrael, L'yotzer Dechavas is not fulfilled his obligation. Now, Barashah, regarding the rest of the Shema, Im Lo Kivan Libe, if he didn't focus, he has to fulfill his obligation. Even if he was just reading from the Torah in his normal way, let's say he was learning. Or he happened to be editing these parashas at the time when you're supposed to say the Shema. Yotze has fulfilled his obligation. But who, as long as Shekiv and Libe, but Pasuk Rishon, as long as he had Kavana, he had focus and intent by the first Pasuk. Halacha Beis. Every single person could read the Shema in their normal way, meaning whether they're standing, whether they're walking, whether they're laying down, whether they're riding in the animal. Meaning, in other words, v'shachvach of kamecho is not literal in that way. But a person is forbidden to say the Shema while he's laying, with his face flat down on the ground, meaning that he's on his belly. Or the other way around, if he's on his back, and he's facing upwards, which is arrogant. You could say it laying, but it has to be then he's laying on his side. Now, if he had a lot of flesh, if he was a very heavy-set person, and he cannot turn himself totally on his side, or he was ill, so then he could tilt himself a little bit to the side, and that's sufficient, and he can say Kriya Shema that way. If someone was walking by foot, so imid b'pasuk rishon, he should stop at the first pasuk. But v'ashar koyv v'malach, the rest he could say while he's walking. Hayoshin, let's say he was sleeping. So mitzarin say they pain him, or me'irim say they waken him. Atshiyikar pasuk rishon, as long as that he says the first pasuk. Makama elach, from that point onwards, imanasate shayna, if the sleep is overtaking him, imitzarin say you don't pain him, meaning he could say it in this dozed, this sleepy state, even though he's not having focus. But as long as the first pasuk we say, we have to wake him up that he's focused and he knows what he's saying. Halacha Dalet regarding the preference in regards to what a person is doing as relates to that of the Kriya Shema. So Mishal Yoisik B'malachav, someone who is engaged in an activity. So Mafsik Atshikar Parsha Rishayin Akula, he has to stop what he's doing until he says the entire first parsha of the Shema. V'chein hu manim betel malach the parsha Rishayin. So to workers, they stop their work regarding the first parsha, and although we said only for the first pasuk you have to have kavana, but it's kedesh leitei kriyasam arai. It shouldn't be that his recital is in this haphazard way. So you have to stop the work that you're doing for the entire first parsha. But v'ashar koyru hu kedar kavaisik b'malach, but the rest of the Shema could be said in a normal way as he's doing his work. Even if he's on the top of a tree, a bereisha kosel on the top of a wall, he could say it in his place, and he says the birchas kriya shema before and after, and the sage did not require this worker to come down from the top of the tree. Halacha hey. Now, let's say someone was in the middle of learning Torah, but gizma kriya shema comes the time of this recital of Shema, he stops what he's learning, and he says the Shema. He says the birchas kriya shema before and after it. But if someone was engaged in the needs of the public, lo yifsik, he doesn't stop because of what's called isik b'mitzvah, his pata min ha-mitzvah from Kriyishma. El yigmar eskeim, rather they finish what they're doing for the klal, the yikra im nishar es likras, and then they say the Shema if there remains time to recite it. Halach abav, hayo isik b'chila. Now let's say he was engaged in eating, or yishoy b'merchatz, or he was in the bathhouse, or yishoy isik b'tisparis, or was engaged in a haircut, where he started earlier in the day, or he was busy turning over the hides to check if it was tanned appropriately. Let's say they engage in a court case. So Goyim, they finish. And then they say Shema. You don't have to stop right then if there is still time. Now, let's say they were afraid that they're going to miss the time of Shema or Pasuk Bekar, and they did stop and they said it. Then he's a praiseworthy person to stop and say, but one doesn't have to if there will be time remaining. Halacha Zayin. Misha Yarat Litvel, if someone went down to immerse himself in the mikvah to purify himself from his tumah, so im yochel lalos, if he could come out, uliskasis, and to cover himself, to get dressed, velikras, and to say the Shema in the ideal time, which is kuyden shatan tzacham, before the sun rises, which is the ideal time of a sikin, so then yala viskasa vikras, so come out of the mikvah, cover yourself, and then say the Shema in the appropriate time. But if he's afraid that the nets is going to come of the sun, the sun's going to start rising before he's going to be able to say the Shema, so rather he should cover himself with the waters that he's in, the yikra, and say the Shema over there. But v'lei yiskas, he shouldn't cover himself, libimayim hadrom, not with the bad water, shereichmer, that has a bad odor, v'libimayim mishra, not where the flax is soaking, v'libimayim tzlulim, and actually neither with translucent, clear water. And that's a different problem. The bad smell is because that's disgracing for Hashem. But here the clear water is when they share avase nearest ben, because actually then he could see his nakedness through the waters. And the Torah says, so you're not allowed to have that either. But what he could do is he could cover himself with murky waters, but she'in rech mirad, that doesn't have a bad smell. But and he could say in this place, they're in the waters themselves. Loch HaChas continues regarding with the precision and the understanding what you're saying in the Shema. Sakai Krishma, when someone is saying the Shema, lo yirmas be'enav, shouldn't gesture with his eyes, lo yikud b'svasav, he shouldn't mouth words with his lips, lo yar b'tzvasav, he shouldn't be pointing with his fingers. Kadesh leitia kiryasa'ara, again, that his recital should not be this haphazard, like he's distracted doing other things. V'masikin, if he does this, ava b'shriyat zadei chavasav, although he has fulfilled his obligation, that is a magun, again, but it's disgraceful. Also, b'tzarch la'ashmeh la'aznei kishu kari, he has to, that it should be, he should hear it with his own ears when he's saying the Shema. If he didn't hear it with his own ears, yasa, he has fulfilled his obligation. And b'tzarkel dakti by CSL, you have to be precise with the letters of the Shema that you're saying in the recital to enunciate it properly. If he wasn't precise, yasa fulfilled his obligation. As Rambam says, Alocha test kitzi dakti, how should one be meticulous in the enunciation? So a few things. Yizar shali rapa hachazik. You should be careful not to soften what's strong. Which means the dogish. For example, don't say visatcha instead of bisatcha. So be is a dogish, ve is softer. Don't say visatcha instead of bisatcha. Again, like I said in the previous halacha, b'diyev is yaitze. So to b'leyachzik harafa, don't say strong with a dogish what's supposed to be soft. Also b'leyiniach hanod, should not make rest what's supposed to be moving. Which means to say, don't pronounce a shva na, which is a shva that is supposed to have an action to it, to a shva, to make it like a shva nach, which is resting. So for example, saying levavcha instead of levavicha. Levavicha, it's the shva, it jumps, it moves, so don't make what's supposed to be a moving resting. And v'lo yoner hanach, don't take the shva nach, that's supposed to rest, and make it into a shva nach, and making it, moving it, which is, for example, instead of saying v'yahavta, you're saying v'havita. So you're moving what's supposed to be resting. Which a sign for what's a shva no, because they look the same, they have the two dots beneath it, is a sign, a mnemonic, is aleph beis gimel dalet hey. So for example, it means this, a shva no is going to be one of these five situations. Aleph, which is the first letter in the word, so divarim has a shva beneath it. The divarim is a di. It's a shva na. Beis means when there's two consecutive shvas in the middle of a word, for example, mishpitei or bishach becha, so there's two shvas by mishpitei or bishach becha, the second shva is a shva na, that's beis, the second one. Gimel is the word gedayla, meaning after what's called a tenua gedayla, which I'll explain in a second what is a tenua gedayla, but it means if the vowelization right beforehand is a tenua gedayla, for example, shoimrim or kasva. So if it's a type of a nekuda, a vowelization right beforehand, that's a tenua gedayla, so it's going to be shoimrim kasva. Dalid is the word dagusha, that has a dagish. So yidaberu habiracha, because it's a beis with a dagish, so it's going to be a shva na. And hey is hadoimais, when you have two similar letters, like rinanas, kilalas, the two letters are the same, then the shva is going to be a shva na. But besides for that, it's going to be always a shva nach. You're not going to move the letter when you're saying it. Now, the Mogad Abram gives a sign for the what's a tenua gedayla, is pituche chaysam, which all those nakudas in the way you say pituche chaysam are all tenuas gedaylas. And there's pituche chaysam, those nakudas are all gedaylas, and the rest are tenuas ketanas. Now, according to other Mefarshim, actually what the Rambam means over here with Shva Nach and Shva Nod is very much related to the next thing he's going to say, is that every single Shva Nach, you shouldn't make it moving, and the opposite. So for example, let's say you're saying the words B'chol Levavacha. So the Lamed of B'chol is a Shva Nach, and it's at the end of the word. The Lamed of Levavacha moves. If you're going to make the Lamed of B'chol Nah, So it's not a shva, but it's don't make the letter that's supposed to be nach nod, because then it's going to be like absorbing into the lamed of levavacha. So it's going to sound like becha levavacha, which is not the right word. And so to the opposite, that's what Rambam means. And lefikach, therefore, that's Rambam continues. Since you have to be careful with the letters and to differentiate between what's no and noch, and especially if you say like those who say this is almost the same ideas, so chalitin revach ben hadvakim. So you have to give a space between that which the words are connected. Bein kol shtei oisiyas hadamis. So any two letters that are similar, sha'achas men tzalif teva, which one of them is the end of the word, v'acheres tchilis teva smugula, and the other one is the same letter, but the beginning of the next word, right after that, for example, b'chol levavacha. So kar b'chol, you have to say the word b'chol, b'shoya, and pause. B'chayitza b'kar levavacha, then you say the word levavacha, because if not, b'chol levavacha, it sounds like b'chol levavacha, like we said, like there's only one lamed, but really there's two. And mechin v'avadetem mehera. Say quickly, you're gonna be swallowing one of the mems. Or kanaf psil, although one is with a dagish, but they're both the fei. And b'tzorch levar, zayin shal tizkeru, you also have to be clear on the Zayin of Tizkeru, so that you remember, Alman Tizkeru, you should remember, and it shouldn't sound like Tizkeru, which if you don't give that Dagish, it's going to sound like as if you're serving Hashem on the condition to Almanasa Kabbal Pras, to get reward, which that goes against what our sages say in Masechtas Avos in the first parak, that one should not do it Almanasa Kabbal Pras. So to Betzach Laharach B'dalet Shel Echad, one should be lengthy on the Dalet of Echad, and that's Kedeshi Yam Lichehu Bashamayim Ba'aretz Ba'abaruchas, so that you should make him king over heaven and earth in the four directions in the world, which that's really what the word Echad is. And the Dalet is the four directions, but on the Dalet, which is the end of the word, because if you do it in the middle, it's like you're not having Kavanah on a word itself. It's only at the end that you have that Kavanah, and so you do it a little bit longer. And one has to be careful not to snatch the Ches, to do that quickly, and then the dal long, so it shouldn't be like he's saying ichad, because if he's going to make the ches shorter and it's going to be lengthy by the aleph, so it's going to be echad, because in other words, like it's going to sound like you're saying the ches quickly, echad. So the problem is, it sounds like e, and it could also mean as not. He's not one, but two, which obviously is not the case, and that's not what we're trying to say. So one should not snatch the ches. Rather, it all has the equal sound, so it's echad, and it sounds like one. Halachiyot kaidu adam eshema b'chaloshen shiyeh mevina. A person could say the shema in any language that it should be understood, because the word shema sounds like whatever language that you could hear that you could understand. Now, b'kaidu b'chaloshen, whoever says it in any language, tzarch lizar, he has to be careful medibri shibush b'ois haloshen, from any types of distortions in that language itself. Medactic b'ois haloshen, you have to be careful with the enunciation of that language in a true correlation, commercial medactic im kroba lashon hakodesh, just like if you would be precise if you were saying it in the lashon hakodesh, the original of the Torah wording. Halacha Yud Aleph continues with the recital out of order. Hakod l'mafreya, someone reads the Shema backwards, so lo yotzei, is not fulfilled his obligation. Now, when we say this, b'seid ha'psukim, in the order of the verses, if you say the last one and the one before them and so on. I've made them parsha la parsha, but if let's say you had a later parsha, let's say Vahim Shema before Shema, Ava Bishen Rosh, although you're not supposed to, on the Amish Yatza Sidram, I say that it's fulfilled obligation. Because it's not like it's narrated in the Torah itself, it's not like really the Pesukim out of order. It's just the parsha is a later one first, and that's okay, that's not considered a problem. Now, Kada Pasik, let's say he recited a verse. V'chaza Kadoi Pam Shnei, then he said the same Pasik again. That's disgraceful, because what are you repeating it again? Let's say he said one word and repeated the word. Let's say he says Shema, Shema. Then Meshaskin, I say. Then we actually silence him, because that looks like as if he's Chas Hashem accepting two different deities, as if there's two entities that he's talking to, which would be as if Chas Hashem that there's another God. Halachid Beis, Kedar Seirugin. If he read it with pauses, that he reads, he stops, and then he goes and he resumes again. So Yatzis is filled with obligation. And even if he paused between these different groupings that he's doing it, the amount of time that he could have finished the whole thing, Yatzis is filled with obligation, which sometimes that's considered an invalidation if you waited that amount of time. But Vahu Shikra, let's say, as long as he says it in the order. Now, Kura Misnamnim, let's say he was saying the Shema as he was dozing, meaning as he was sleepy. Vahu, that is, Misha in the air, he's not totally awake, but Vahu Nirdim, Mishenim, but he's not totally sleeping. So Yotze fulfills his obligation. Again, as long as he's awake, by the first pasig, having kavana, as we said, in Halacha Gimel. Halacha Yud Gimel. Safek kada kriya shema. Let's say someone's not sure if he said the shema. Safek loy kada, maybe he didn't say it. So chayzev akari has to go and say it again, because the mitzvah of kriya shema is biblical, and the safek derei, so we go to chumra. And even though Mubarak Lefanel Achra, and you're going to say the Birchus Kirishma before and after, because that was the Chacham's Takana initially, that whoever's going to be chayv to say the Shema has to say with the Brachas. But Aval Miyad Shakar, let's say he knows he said the Shema. But in the Sabbath Lo in Birch Lefanel Achra, but he's not sure, did he say the Birchus Kirishma also? Or Loy Bercha, maybe he didn't say it. They're actually in the Chayzim of Brachas. He does not have to go and say with the Brachas, the Brachas are rabbinic. And Sabbath Brachas is Lahakal, Sabbath Rabban is Lahakal. It's only when you have to say with the Shema that then you say the Brachas with it too. Now, Kara B'tah, let's say someone said the Shema and he made a mistake. Yachzal Makom Shatah, he's got to go back to the place where he made the mistake. Nele Memenu Bein Parashah LaParashah, let's say he's it's eluding him when he's going from one Parashah to another one. And the any day is a Parashah Hishlam, he's not sure which Parashah just finished. There's a circle, ask which one he has to start. So Chayz LaParashah Shin, he goes back to the first Parashah, Shiva Haftas Shema Kecha B'Goymer, meaning, because after the Pasuk of Shema, it's like a new, after and with Baruch Shem, it's like a new idea in Bahavta, so he's not sure what he just finished, he's got to go back to the first one in Bahavta. Halacha Yadalad, Toa Be'emtza Perek. Let's say someone made a mistake in the middle of the chapter. He doesn't know where he interrupted. So Chayz Lo'esha Perek, he goes back to the beginning of the chapter. Let's say he's saying the word Uchasavtim. He doesn't know which Uchasavtim. Is it one of the first Perek of Shema in Bahavta? Or maybe it's from the second chapter, they both say the word Uchasavtim. So Chayz L'Chasavtim Shal Shema, you got to go back to the first one of L'Chasavtim, because again, the Suffolk, we're going to go stringently. Now, the in this topic, let's say he has this doubt, he's not sure which L'Chasavtim he's up to, after he already said the words that it should be lengthier days, then in the Chayz, he doesn't go back to the first one. Because we assume that he was going the way his tongue usually goes, which is in the order that it says, although people might not be conscious of it. And we assume that if you said L'Man Yibu, you had just finished the second one, not the first one. Halachat Zvav continues with regarding when would one stop the recital of the Shema. So Hayukayre, let's say one of the most saying of the Shema. Ufogabachem, and he encounters other people. Ufogabachem, or others encounter him. Sim Hayubim Perak Leperak, if he's between chapters, Paisiku Maschel, he stops and he starts with Shol Shloim, and he greets, he initiates a greeting, Mishu Chay Bechvay, there's someone that he's obligated to honor. Kukun Shapogabachem, he encounters his father, or rabbi, or his teacher, or Mishu Godlem, men Machachem, someone that's greeted him in wisdom. And the Meshiv Shalom, L'chalad M'shunas L'shalom. Now regarding returning a greeting, that's to every single person that gives him a greeting. Halakha Tazayin. Ha'yikredu be'emtza parasha. Now let's say, however, he was reciting in the middle of a parasha. Then in a Paisik Amaskal Lishal. Then he does not stop and initiate to greet. Ela b'shloim Mishu Misyorim. And only someone that he's afraid of. Could go in, for example, Melech, a king, or Anas, or someone that's a very difficult person. Or K'yitzvim, meaning someone that could harm him. Okay, it's from similar types of individuals. Of Mishu Chai Bechvayde, but someone that is just obligated to honor, could go in Ovid, for example, his father, a rabbi, or his teacher. Im Nasan Leisham Tchil, it's only if the father, let's say, greets him first, then Paisik Meshav Leisham, then he stops and returns the greeting, but he would not initiate a greeting in the middle of the parasha. Halacha Yitzai, now, Ve'ilahin Bein HaParak, what's considered between chapters, that's more lenient. So, Bein Bracha Rishayna L'Shniya, between the first bracha, let's say, of Yitzim Ha'iris, and the second bracha of Ahavas Olam, in that gap, is Bein HaParakim. Bein Shni L'Shema, between the second bracha of Ahavas Olam and the Shema. Bein Shema L'Vayim Shemaya, between Shema and the second chapter, second paragraph of Vayim Shemaya. Bein Vayim Shemaya L'Vayimah, between the second and the third. Now, Bein HaParakim Eil, between these chapters, like we said, Shailim Nehakovit, he could initiate a greeting for someone that he has an obligation to honor. Or Meshav Shalach Aladim, and he could return the greeting to every single person. Of Bein Vayimah L'Emes V'Yatziv, which is really the end of the third parasha Shema, and the beginning of the bracha of Kriya Shema that's after the Shema, Harizik Emtza Perek. That's really, we give it a halacha like a middle of a chapter. But lo yafsek, and they should not interrupt. And the reason why that is because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Vashem Alekim Emes. So though really Hashem Alekim is the end of the parasha of Yirmiyah, and Emes is the beginning of Emes V'yatziv, we consider like Hashem Alekim Emes as if it's one, and one does not interrupt. Ela lishul b'nehayira ulahashem ne'akavet. Like we said, regarding the halacha of emtza perek, you would only initiate a greeting for someone that he's afraid of, and to return the greeting for someone that he has an obligation to honor.